Before I get into my lesson, it's Bob's 53rd birthday today, and it was Tanya's. I won't tell you hers, so let's just say happy birthday to them both. Happy birthday to Bob and Tanya. Yes, we're glad. It's Bob is like, you know that, he's like a son to me, and I'm very proud of him and proud of the life that he's lived, and it's pretty cool to have him in my life, and you guys too. So let me talk about one of my milestones. May the 15th, I took my first part-time gig for a church in Sevierville, Tennessee, and it's 40 years ago. So today is starting about 40 years that I've been doing some kind of ministry and getting, and somebody saying, "Here's some money to do it," and we recognize that you can do something, and so that was kind of cool. So yeah, you can clap there. Thanks. And it kind of goes with my sermon, and that's what I want to tell you about. Probably over those 40 years, I would say that there's, and not in a braggadocious way, I don't want to say that at all, but there's probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids that I've known, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have been in my life. And during that time of those 40 years, I would say about halfway through, I kept hearing this one word that people would say about Brenda and I and our ministry and about our lives, and the one word was always this word that I didn't like, and it was called dependable, dependable, and those people are dependable. You can just kind of count on them a little bit, and I know that's a good thing, and I understand that, but I wanted to be kind of, you know, I wanted to be very charismatic, and I wanted to be very, you know, at that point in my life at 20, because I looked around, and I saw their people, and I saw what they did, and some of them flamed out, and some of them are no longer even around. And so I understand dependability, and I understand what it is. And now the older I get, the more I understand what it means to be dependable. And I am getting a little bit more of a grasp on it. I'm not always dependable, of course. I think probably that's one of the things that kind of Brenda and I both have probably will have on our tombstone someday. They were kind of dependable, and I think that is one of the characteristics of God that I love the most: His dependability, His trustworthiness. And so I would say I probably have emulated that more, that quality of God, and tried to have that be a part of my life. And I've always tried to think about that and think about, and that stupid thing that went around for years, you know, when they had on their race, what would Jesus do? I always used to think like that when I was younger. What would God do in this situation? And it really kind of gave me a guideline for doing that. And so that today, as we're talking about getting a glimpse of God, and I'm not finished with this because I'm going to keep going a couple more weeks, but we've talked about God's His justice, we've talked about His grace, we've talked about His mercy, we've talked about the fact that He is a God who doesn't change, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've talked about that He's holy, and He's holy, holy, holy. We said that, and today we're going to talk about God's dependability. And so before we get that, we've got to talk about us a little bit, and then we'll talk about God, and then we'll kind of wrap this thing up. So I want to start out this lesson on dependability by asking this question of you today. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? When we were kids, it was a little bit different. Things were just a little bit different for those people that have been young, that have been around for a minute. It was just a little bit different time. All it takes now is a click of the news to see rumors of war and political unrest and economic uncertainty, and or maybe it's an aging parent, or you're aging yourself, and something the doctor's going to say at the next doctor's appointment. Maybe for you it's something different. So it's, I don't know, but I want to ask you, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? Do you got it? You got it down? Some of you got lots. Here's why I ask. Because what we worry about the most often reveals where we trust God the least. Let me Let me say that again. What we worry about the most often reveals where we trust God the least. Jesus has this to say to his followers, us here today. Maybe for you, it might be something different, but let's look at a very famous passage. Matthew, it should come on the screen here. I think Thomasina. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I've talked about this verse ad nauseum, time after time after time. It's a pretty all-encompassing verse. It includes so much. He says, can any one of you add even a single hour to your life? And we know we can't. We can't do it, but we continually do it, don't we? We continually call it whatever you want, concerns, whatever you want to call it. You have so much time where you think about things that probably aren't yours to really think about. I really think the whole gig here for us this morning is this. Can I really depend on God? Can I really depend on God? I think that's the base question that every one of us in here have in our lives. We really want to know, can we really count on God? Is he really trustworthy? All the way back in the Old Testament and back in Genesis, we see Eve in the garden. And Eve apparently has learned the rule from Adam, and she's in the garden one day, and the serpent begins to ask and talk to Eve, and here's what the serpent says. The serpent says, did God really say that you couldn't eat from the tree? So the serpent kind of twisted the truth. He took the truth and he twisted it all up and kind of got them thinking. Did God really say that you can trust? Can you really trust him? Is he really going to be someone that you can depend on? You see, Eve had to make a choice. Right there, right then in the garden, she had to make a choice. And the choice was, am I going to trust God or am I going to trust me? Am I going to trust what I see, what I can touch, what I can feel? Every single one of us has to answer that question daily, 35,000 times a day almost. I didn't count them, but I believe that's how many times it is. Do I really trust him? Can I really think he's dependable? Psalm 62:7 comes on the screen, says this. Is God dependable? Well, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is a mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. One place it says he's our hiding place. He's our protector. He's the one that when he's with us, nobody knows. Nobody can touch us. He's our refuge. He's our protector. Trust in him at all times. All times. Now here's the take home. It's not what he does, it's who he is. And this is where we get it mixed up, because we believe that he's dependable for what he does for it. And the Bible says it's just who he is. It's in his makeup. It's in his he doesn't have a DNA, but it's in who he is. It's his very structure. He is trustworthy. You can depend on him. And you have to understand, is it not what he does? Listen, it is not what he does for us. It's who he is for us. It's his presence. And when he's there, there's something magnificent. There's something incredible about God's presence, because when he is near, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. So I want to give you a couple of take-homes here today to take home. If you want to write these down, you can. If you don't, it's okay. I won't be upset. Number one, the first reason you can trust God is because God has always been faithful before. And I'm going to kind of tell a story through this little a couple things that I'm going to tell you about the people coming out of the Exodus out of Egypt. And as they're doing that, I'm going to use that story to kind of connect all the dots for us this morning. The first lesson is God has been faithful before, and that's the theme of the whole Testament, that God is always the same. He is dependable. You can count on him. Moses said to the people, he said this, he said, remember this day, look back on this day, do not forget this day for which you have departed Egypt from the house of slavery. Do not forget when you came out of Egypt. And see, that's the same thing he says to us today. Don't you remember when you came out of Egypt, when you were in slavery, when you before Jesus? Don't forget that. Don't forget that you used to be a slave. And you're not anymore. You're free. Don't act like it. Lots. But you're free. You've been set free. Not by my strength, he says, but by the powerful hand of the Lord. By his hand, you were brought from this place. And Moses goes on to say in that passage, he says, I need you to remember, church, I need you to remember, Israelites, remember the fact that when you cried out for mercy and said, oh God, have mercy on us, get us out of this hellhole. God said, okay, all right. Then Moses said, remember that God delivered you from the most powerful ruler on the face of the earth by 10 miraculous plagues. You remember all that, all those horrible things that happened to everybody but you? Remember that. Remember the fact that when you went to the Red Sea, and you got to the Red Sea and there was an army coming behind you, and all of a sudden God opened up the sea and you crossed across the land on dry land. I need you to remember that. Remember it. God is faithful. Oh, I forgot. Remember when you were in the wilderness, and God led you by the cloud by day? Every day you got up, and it's time to go. There goes the cloud. And there was a cloud of fire, and that night it stopped. God, you got to remember, these people are numbskulls. Then this incredible thing happened to them day after day after day, and they keep forgetting. So Moses keeps telling them, remember that you were thirsty? Remember that? God provided what? He provided water. Remember when you were hungry, God provided ravens and manna for you to eat. Remember that? Remember that God has been faithful before. Remember that God is trustworthy because he has done it before. He will do it again. And again, and again, and again. That's why the Israelite people had this practice, this practice. Anytime that God would do something incredible, anytime he would do something significant, they would take these stones and they would pile them up and they would bring them to this place. And then every time that them or anybody else went by those stones, they saw those stones, they would remember what happened there. The problem is with us. We don't do any stone laying. We don't have any piles because we're so consumed. We're so busy. We're so overwhelmed day after day after day. We can't even get another pile. If we build a pile, we wouldn't remember what we did there because there'd be so many piles. Look what God did. He did something cool. Yeah, but he didn't do this. Look what God did something, but he didn't do that. Look what God did, and he didn't do that. See, that's the problem. How do we know that God is trustworthy? We have to remember that he's been faithful before. See, that's the problem when we go crazy when these things happen to us, these circumstances happen to us. Our life seems to crumble in front of us and we go, God, where are you? You must remember that God was faithful yesterday. That he was faithful yesterday. The second thing you need to take home is that God was not just faithful yesterday. He is faithful today. He is faithful today. See, God led the Israelite people out of the edge of the promised land to the very doorstep of the place that they desired to go. And we find in Numbers 14, if you look, if that can come up, Numbers 14 says this. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of the land. God has promised you. He took you out of Egypt, Israelites. He's taken you out of your past sin, Impact Christian Church, and he has promised you a promised land. Do not be afraid of the culture, but do not be a part of the culture. Do not get yourself so entwined in the native land that you forget that you're an alien, that you forget that God has called you to a mission today, and you have a mission, and it is not to do some of the stuff that you're doing. It's okay that you're doing the stuff you're doing. It's okay to do some of the things. I'm not against that. But I'm saying you got to remember. We need to remember there needs to be a pile of stones. And then we got to remember that he's in my today. I've got a sense that he's right here, right now. And many times we don't sense that, because we're not putting anything into that relationship. Because we put more things into our social media, we put more things into our sports, we put more things into our hobbies than we ever do with a relationship with God. And then we wonder, why is my today going so bad? See, everybody's today goes bad. Everybody has bad days. But it's how you go through them with God that helps you go through those days. You see, our success, here's what I want you to take home on this point. Our success is dependent not on us. It's dependent on God being in it, in his presence, being there with us. And that whatever it is we're doing, he's there with us, understanding that. You see, Joshua understood something. He understood that his success was not dependent upon what we see. Our success is not dependent on the size of the opposition. It is not dependent on how big the enemy is. It's dependent on God being with us. Way back in Matthew 1:23, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Us. Closest he can get is in us through his Holy Spirit. See, the good news of Jesus Christ is that he's with us. And his last words to his disciples were this: "Surely I'll be with you into the end. Always, always, always I will be with you." Every day, today, today, today. Every single time that we get into a pickle, every single time we get into a situation or a circumstance, God is not going to pull you out. If you're expecting God to pull you out of every one of the circumstances you get into, you're wrong. I must say, God will not get you out of everything that comes at you, but he will be with you through everything that goes at you. God's faithfulness, his dependability, is not based on the absence of the problems in your life, but on the presence of him in yours. It's like when you were a kid. Here's the best way I could think of this. When you were a kid, when you were 5, 6, maybe 7, maybe even a little younger, your parents would tuck you in at night, and they'd turn off the light. And 38 seconds later, you show back up in the living room and you'd say, "I can't go to sleep. I need a drink of water, Mommy." And you would say, "Okay, get a drink of water, go back to bed." And 36 seconds later, you'd show back up in the living room and say, "I can't get to sleep. I'm not tired." "Go back to your bed." And they'd go back to their bed. Then 35 seconds later, they'd show up and say, "I can't go to sleep. I hear noises." Eventually, they thought you'd wear them down, didn't you? Yeah, you know, we do this so many times. And where you would say, okay, do you want me to come lay down with you? Okay, I will. Let's go. And you walk back to the room, get in bed, tuck the covers in extra tight. You lay down, top of the covers next to you. Get this, church. Get this. This is important. Nothing about your situation changed, but everything had changed because there was someone who was dependable, was with you. The same noises that you thought you heard, they were there. But what changed was the person you thought was dependable was right there, right now. And you got to bring that forward to today with God, to your situation, to your circumstance. You're here this morning, you're lonely. You're here this morning, you're fearful. You're here this morning, you're worried. God is right there with you in your today. Nothing about your circumstances have changed, but God will be faithful. Lastly, God is dependable because he's going to be faithful tomorrow. He'll be faithful tomorrow. Not just yesterday, not just today, but he'll be faithful tomorrow. So God led the Israelites out of to the edge of the promised land. And he'd been faithful before and he was with them. And he gets them right to the promised land. And they're sitting there looking at this incredible spread that was promised to all of them. Did they trust him? A lot of them didn't. And they didn't go in. They didn't step into the promised land. And here's what blows me away about that. What blows me away about that is they already knew that the story, how it was written. They'd already been told that that was their land. It was theirs to go and kick the door open and say, here we are, it's ours, because it was promised. But they didn't listen to the promise. And for 40 years, they ran around in a circle in the stinking desert. Time after time after time, going by all those crazy rock piles. Oh, that's what God did. Look, that's what God did. That's what God did. They were stupid. So are we. So are we. Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to the world. And I'm going to give you this land that's going to be for my people. And he comes to the point where they're getting ready to go into the land. The spies come and he said, I'm going to send you in to see. Remember the 10 were bad and 2 were good thing? They're getting ready to go in and see. Numbers 13. I think it's up here. Did we get Numbers 13? Yeah, we did. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So 12 men went in, 10 came back, said, horrible, don't go, they're giants. 2 said, we got this, let's do it. Because they remembered, those 2 remembered the stones. They remembered the piles. They remembered going by that. They remembered going through. They remembered their mom and their dad telling them about the sea opening up and saying, God has got this. God has got this. I look at that and I read that and I go, how dumb can you be, Israelites? The end of the story has been written and you knew it and it was already on paper and you heard the story every day and you still didn't get it. So you got to see God's faithfulness in the past. You got to see it in today, but you got to see it that it's coming tomorrow, that the end of the story has been written, church. Revelation chapter 21, God says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write down these words because they're trustworthy and they're true, and you can depend on it tomorrow. You can depend on it. There's nothing left to worry about, he says. He who is seated on the throne, I am, is making everything new. He's making everything new. And he said, write it down. Write it down. It's so important that you know that your tomorrow is covered. Yeah, it's good to know yesterday is, and it's good to know he's there with you today. But you also got to know that he's in your tomorrows. And he's already written the end of the story. And he's written the end of your story. And he will be with you through every circumstance, every high and every low that you go through. I'm going to ask the band to come right now. And don't check out because I'm almost done. Some of you are saying, Jeff, yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying. And you've said things like this before. But what about this thing that I'm worried about? What about this thing that I'm worried about? What college I'm going to get into? What about these tests that I'm taking? What about this? What about that? What about this? That's a fair question. John 14 says this. I think it should come up on there. Jeff, church, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, also trust in me. Trust. God is dependable. God is worthy of your trust. He was there yesterday. He's in your today, and he'll be in your tomorrow. What more can we ask for? Let's pray.